How many of you have ever been to a track meet? Would you raise your hand? All right. How many of you have ever watched track, maybe when the Olympics was on, or maybe just a track meet on television? Would you raise your hand? Well, if I were to ask you what is your favorite event, you maybe have one that really connects with you. Maybe it's pole vaulting. Maybe it's the long jump. Maybe it's the 100-meter dash. Or maybe it's the hurdles. But for me, it's always the relay race. The relay race is always exciting because what you'll discover is there's a 20-meter space on the track called the exchange zone where the baton is handed from one runner to the next runner. And many races are won or lost in that exchange. That exchange zone is vital. And what we're going to see in Scripture today is the exchange zone where Jesus is handing off the baton from the baton he's held in ministry as he descended from heaven. He came to earth for 33 and a half years, lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he then walked the earth for 40 days, and he was seen, the Bible tells us, by over 500 witnesses. Now Jesus is taking the baton of his mission, and he's handing it off to his followers. And I want you to join me now in Luke chapter 24. We're going to pick up in verse 33. So enjoyed having Pastor Avery with us last Sunday to preach the Word of God. And he talked about the road to Emmaus and how Jesus made himself known to those two disciples. And we pick up in verse 33 from the end of that story to segue in to where we're going to be this morning. In Luke chapter 24, verse 33, when you're there, would you shout amen? Amen. Look at verse 33. And they arose that same hour, that is those two disciples, one Cleopas. And they arose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread, how Jesus made himself known to those two disciples. Verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them. Now that's post-resurrection appearance. And said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, I love this, Jesus showed them his hands and his feet. They needed more proof, so he showed them. Verse 41, and while they still disbelieved for joy, they were just overwhelmed and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" Boy, I love that question. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Now, what I just read to you is one of the markers of the road he chose. I want you to write these down, if you would. Let me give you a few markers. A few markers on the road Jesus chose, and then we're going to apply it here in just a moment. Markers on the road Jesus chose. The first is proof of his resurrection. Proof of his resurrection. We won't go into this deeply. We already had Easter Sunday, and we celebrated the empty tomb, the resurrected Christ. But what I appreciate about this marker on the road he chose is that Jesus is patient with us. And Jesus was so patient with his disciples to give them proof of his resurrection. They were startled. They were frightened. They were terrified. Even though Jesus had shared with them that he would rise again, it just kind of was beyond them for them to comprehend it, and he was so patient with them. And it's a reminder that Jesus will meet you where you are. He knows how you're wired. Jesus knows if you're an early adopter, a middle adopter, or a late adopter. Jesus knows if you're cynical or inquisitive or not real sure about this church thing. He's very patient with you, and Jesus will meet you right where you are and give you proof of his resurrection. Here's another mark, fulfillment of prophecy. Fulfillment of prophecy. Over 350 prophecies pointing to the Jesus we have come to know. Look at verse 44, fulfillment of prophecy. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So Jesus reveals himself to the disciples physically. Touch and see. Touch my hands. Touch and see. And then Jesus is reminding them what they are experiencing is fulfillment of prophecy. This is what the Old Testament has pointed to, the reality of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. Here's a third mark I want you to write down. Another marker, scope of the mission. I love how Jesus unveils the scope of his mission. We pick up now in verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That is called illumination, where the Spirit of God opens our spiritual eyes to understand truth. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And that repentance, now here's the loaded mission, don't miss this, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. One thing you'll notice at Champion Forest Baptist Church, we have 24 venues of worship, and we have the proclamation of the gospel in all 24 venues. No video venues, all live. Children, student, and adult venues, all live preaching and teaching and proclamation of the gospel. And we point out the reality of sin and the need for repentance for a person to come to salvation. Now, some churches say you shouldn't talk about sin. You shouldn't talk about hell. You shouldn't talk about condemnation. But the Bible talks about it. And before a person can understand and embrace the need for salvation, they must understand and embrace the need to be delivered from sin. If you don't know you're a sinner, then why do you need to be saved? If you don't recognize that you are dead in your sins and your trespasses and you need divine intervention, God to come to your rescue, and thus, in all of our venues, we are unapologetic about preaching the whole counsel of God. Why is that? We want to be true to the Word of God, the scope of His mission. Number four, another marker, power for the mission. Power for the mission. In Luke 24, verse 49, notice these words Jesus speaks to them. He says, and behold, I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, that's a direct command. You've seen me, you've touched me, but I want you to stay in the city until you receive what I've promised, power from on high. Number five, we see another marker, purpose of his ascension. So of his death, burial, resurrection. We have his giving them visible, tangible proof of his resurrection. We see here now the purpose of his ascension. Look at verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands. He blessed them. Do you see the picture? While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Now, that's a major moment. We call that the ascension. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Now, what Luke is showing us is what's called the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that Jesus was taken up from them. He ascended to heaven. What a beautiful picture. And it reminds us that Jesus completed his mission. Whenever Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I have completed what you gave me to do. Whenever in John 4:34, Jesus said, and my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus completed his assignment. And what I want you to understand this morning is that's where we come in. Jesus has ascended. And it's very important that he ascended. In John 16 and 7, he said to his disciples earlier, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I feel like we need to play that song. Well, it's our turn now. Because that's where we are in Scripture. The baton is now handed off to you and to me. It's our turn now. Jesus has handed off the baton to the church of the living God, to every child of God, to every follower of Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 1, flip over in your Bibles or on your smartphone, go to Acts chapter 1 and look at verse 8. We're going to get our marching orders for the church. This is what we are to give our lives to. We've received the baton. Jesus has died. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He walked the earth for 40 days. He was seen by 500 witnesses, and then he ascended back to the Father. Here's our marching orders. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power. Now, do you remember what I think about when I see the word power? Because the Greek word is dunamis, which means dynamite. How many of you ever watched Good Times growing up? And JJ would say what? All right, that was weak. What did JJ say? Dynamite. Every time I read Acts 1:8, I think about old JJ and Jesus. Dynamite. And what Jesus is saying, you will receive power. You will receive dynamite. You will receive what you don't have in and of yourselves. It's divine. It's God-given. You will receive dynamite when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And as a result of the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit in his presence, his power, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. Three things I want you to write down. Number one, become an irresistible influence in your intersections of life. Become an irresistible influence in your intersections of life. Now, what I mean by that is you have different intersections depending on your life stage. Sometimes your intersections are consistent. You have the same routine, the same route to work or the same route to school, and you have the same classes, you have the same environments, maybe you have the same workspace where you work, but you have this intersections of life that for you are very consistent. And they do change over the time, depending on your life stage and depending on the ages of your kids or grandkids. You have different intersections of life. One thing that has been very consistent in my life since 1983. Now, this is personal. You want to hear this? In my pocket, my left pocket, I have a tube of ChapStick. I've been carrying a tube of ChapStick since 1983. We grew up racing jet skis and water skiing several times a week, so my lips would get chapped. I stayed tan and sometimes would get sunburned, so I was very dependent on ChapStick. And what I learned over the years is that my body got dependent on ChapStick and stopped creating whatever it needed to keep my lips soft and unchapped. So now I have a dependency upon ChapStick. So you'll never, ever, ever, ever see me without ChapStick. It's just part of my life. I know where it is at all times, and I don't ever lose it. I know where it is. Now, if I ever were to lose it, I've got a box filled with ChapSticks. I'm good. When I do run out and I'm out and about, I'll go to Walgreens or CVS and I'll go in and I'll get ChapStick. I get the same tube every time. It's a very special kind of ChapStick. It's very sweet. I love it. But here's what I've discovered. When I go into Walgreens or to CVS to buy a ChapStick, it's not about the ChapStick. It's not about the ChapStick. It's about the person God wants me to encounter as I go get the ChapStick. That's a major shift in how we live. I thought it was about the ChapStick. It's not about the ChapStick. The ChapStick and needing new ChapStick gave the opportunity for a new intersection of life to engage someone that without the ChapStick need, I would have never met. It's not about the doctor's visit. It's not about the doctor's visit. It's about the person you visit with in the waiting room while you're waiting to see the doctor. It's not even about the oil change, though your car needs oil and it needs to be changed. It's not about the oil change. It's about the people you meet as you're getting the oil changed. It's not about the person who comes to your house to fix something that is broken. It's not about getting your oven repaired. It's about the oven repairer who comes to your house. That what God is calling us to do is to be an irresistible influence for His glory in the intersections of life. And those intersections of life change. And the question is, what will you do with the influence God has given you? Here's the second thing I want you to write down. Be a witness. Testify of His redemptive activity in your life. Be a witness. Testify of His redemptive activity in your life. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you know so, if you know what it means to be lost and found, if you know what it means to be blind, now you see, if you know what it means to be in the kingdom of darkness and then brought into the kingdom of light, if you know what it means to have your sins forgiven and the righteousness of Christ imputed into your account, if you know what it means to be born from above, born again, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There is no room for silent saints. God has not called you to be a coward in your Christianity. God has called you to be courageous in your Christianity as you testify of His redemptive activity in your life. Third phrase, be sensitive to God's activity so you can join Him in what He's doing. I learned that from Henry Blackaby in 1992. Be sensitive to God's activity so you can join Him in what He's doing. If you'll just, well, ladies, you've got this dialed in. There's something about the ladies. The ladies have a satellite dish by God where they can just take everything in. They just take it in. And guys, there's something about us and our insufficiency and inadequacy. We didn't receive the satellite dish that ladies have received from God. We've got the little, you remember those rabbit ears? And you put aluminum foil on it for high definition. That's most of us guys. So a lady can walk into a room and walk through the room and then say to you, did you notice, did you see that? I could tell they were down. And you're like, where'd you pick up on that? Satellite dish. Whereas us guys, we miss it. And what God is trying to get us to do is to live in such a way that all of us, guys and gals alike, that we are sensitive to His activity so we can join Him in what He's doing. It's our turn now. The baton is now in our hands. And I want to give you two action statements to plug in Monday morning. The first one is this. Let's shine His light and share His love by serving. Let's start there. Let's shine His light and share His love by serving. Now, why is that important? We are never more like Jesus than when we're serving. If you want to be like Jesus, serve. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. Shine His light. Share His love by serving. Let me give you two opportunities. Number one, the church has left the building. Serve Saturday is coming up this Saturday at 9 a.m. This Saturday. Now, I need you to take out your smartphone. We're going to do something together. I love using a smartphone during the preaching time. Take out your smartphone and get ready to text, okay? Go to your text message page. Go ahead. It's legal to do this in church. Get your smartphone. I'll give you an opportunity to text. Now, here's our opportunity. Saturday, we have two projects. We're going to go to Schultz Elementary and do a block party. And that's where we've invited all the kids and families from Schultz Elementary in that community to come. And it's just a block party. It's kind of like a miniature fair. We have bouncies and food and all kinds of popcorn, cotton candy. And last time, Lee Horn, our CFO, was serving hot dogs. I mean, we're just there to serve and love on the kids and their families. That's at Schultz Elementary. And Sherry Davenport is the principal there. Sherry, would you stand? Thank you for building this bridge and opening up an opportunity for us to serve. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Now, our second opportunity is at Zwink Elementary. Zwink Elementary is across the street from our new 45 acres of land and across the street from the 115 acres of land that we bought with Klein, where we're building our church, and they're building an elementary school and an intermediate school. Well, right across the street from us is Zwink Elementary. And the principal there is Katie Turner, and she has built a bridge to us to let us use the school for whatever we need. And we have a great opportunity coming up there I'm going to tell you about in just a moment. But here's how we can serve the school at Zwink. It's a beautification project. And we already have a team with a merge class and others who are going to be leading the charge. So if you say, I want to do a block party, I just want to be visible to be at the block party and serve as I'm needed, or I want to go help with a beautification project, here's what I want you to do. Take out your phone and text to this number, 281-843-1340. We'll have it on the screens for you. 281-843-1340. That's the number you'll be texting to. And here's the code. If you want to do the block party, just B-L-O-C. It's four letters. Block, B-L-O-C, for block party. And then, like, bow, beautiful, B-E-A-U, if you want to do the beautification project. I tried that this morning. I'm like, that sounds too easy. I went online and registered earlier this week. And then I said, let me try this text message. Instantly, it said, thank you for registering for beautification for North Klein. When I registered online, I did the block party because I'm doing both. I'm hitting both of them. And so right now, if you'll take a moment and go ahead and text to 281-843-1340 and sign up for the beautification project or for the block party, isn't that going to be awesome? Now, here's the next thing I need you to do. Right after this service, I need you to go into the atrium and get a Serve Saturday shirt. The church has left the building. If you'll get a shirt so that as we're serving our community, we're all wearing the same shirt. It has Champion Force on the back, and the church has left the building on the front. Now, we'll just give you a shirt, but our preference is you'll donate $7 to cover the cost. But you can just get a shirt. We're not going to let money keep you from representing the Lord on these two opportunities. So, text beautification or block to those that number, depending on which one you'll serve, then get a shirt in the atrium. Now, that's called Serve Saturday. We do this every year, and we're serving. All you do Saturday is show up either at Schultz or Zwink at 9 a.m. We're not having a pre-meeting at any other campus. You go right to the location at 9 a.m. on Saturday and start serving. Now, here's another opportunity to shine His light and share His love. You want to hear it? God has given us such favor at Zwink Elementary that we're going to do the first ever North Klein Vacation Bible School at Zwink Elementary. That is unbelievable that they've opened their facilities up to us, and Katie Turner's been so gracious in rolling out the red carpet. We already have a big banner made. You're going to see this banner this week on Spring Stubner at Frasati. So when parents are coming out of Zwink Elementary and come to the stop sign, they're going to see this sign. Now, what they're also going to get in the next 30 days is our red light we're purchasing for that intersection, which will be a blessing to all of us. But that sign's going up. So if you want to serve and be part of our Vacation Bible School at Zwink Elementary, where we're going to be engaging the culture and reaching hundreds of kids, all I need you to do is sign up at championforce.org/VBS, select North Klein Campus. And that's the campus you'll be representing for our Vacation Bible School. So here are two wonderful opportunities for you this Saturday and then in June to be able to shine His light and share His love by serving. Let me give you something else. Let's shine His light and share His love by building intentional relationships. Think about that. Building intentional relationships. And here's what motivates me. This morning after I finished up here with Blue Crew, normally on my way back home to get a shower and get dressed for preaching, I always go through the McDonald's drive-thru to get an Egg McMuffin and a bottle of water. Every Sunday morning, that's my routine. And I always love when I get to pay at the pay window, because while they're doing processing my card, I reach down to my side little tray in the door, and I pull up this card. And it's Champion Force North Klein, and it invites them to come, has all our information on the back, the ABCs of the gospel. So when I receive my card and receipt, I just use my other hand and say, I want to share something with you that's changed my life. And they take it, and they look at it, and they go, thank you. They're like not used to receiving things in the drive-through window. And so I've given hundreds of these away. Anytime we go out to eat, I always leave a card with a tip. Always. Just saturating our community with invitations to be part of our church family and with the gospel on the back. Just sharing His love and shining His light. Now here's what motivates me. Remember, you are the one Jesus came to rescue. As we're out seeking to rescue others, remember that you are the one Jesus came to rescue. In Luke chapter 15, verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? You are the one Jesus came to rescue. And that ought to motivate you. That motivates me to build intentional relationships with other people to shine His light and share His love. Number two, who is your one? Who is your one? Who is your one? You can get so busy in life that you forget lost people go to hell. I can get so busy in life that I forget lost people go to hell. And I start thinking it's about the chapstick. When it's not, it's about people. So I want to give you five eyes to plug in, five words here. We've used this several times. I just want to refresh your memory. Identify your one. Who is it? Identify. Intercede for them. Be praying for them by name. So it's really good to write the name down. Identify the person that's lost, that's going to come your one for this month or for this quarter or for this summer or for this year. Identify. Then I'm encourage you to intercede, pray for them, and then invest in the relationship. Build a bridge to them. Start interacting with them. And then the next is invite. Invite them to church. It's so simple. Join me for church. And let them choose a 9 or 11, 10, and then join them. Sit with them. Navigate them through this campus. And then the fifth eye is involve. Involve them. And one way you can involve them, after you invite them and they come to church with you, take them to lunch. You can involve them by saying, hey, after service, I'm going to go to a life group. That's where we really do life with people our age and life stage. And involve them. Let them go with you to a life group so they can get to know other people their age and life stage. So identify, intercede, invest, invite, involve. And here's the bottom line. Be the one God uses to reach the one God chooses. Be the one God uses to reach the one God chooses. Legend has it that when Jesus ascended to heaven after his victory on earth, the saints and the angels all gathered around to hear him tell the story of his life, his sacrificial death, and of course, his triumphant resurrection. A concerned angel asked him, Jesus, what's going to happen next? And who's going to carry on the Father's redemptive plan on earth? And Jesus answered and said, I've left it in the hands of my disciples. They will tell others, who will tell others, until the whole world has heard the good news. The angel replied, but Lord, what if they fail? Surely you have another plan. And Jesus said, I have no other plan. Who's your one?
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.